Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This episode we have Michael Shank, who was just here a week ago helping me to co-host the Week in IndyCar Podcast. Mike has just announced what I would say is his most awesome and ambitious plans to date for the Michael Shank Racing Team. In 2018, he will be partnering with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports to field Jack Harvey at least six IndyCar events. We also have Michael, who is continuing his Acura NSX GT3 effort in IMSA's WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Unlike in 2017, which was a full factory effort supported by Acura, Michael's had to reach deep and increase support from personal sponsors of the team that have been there for quite some time. That's actually a portion of the podcast where we take a deeper dive on, because it is really important to see someone like Mike, who is self-made, and frankly, I think a lot like maybe you and I, who come from relatively humble beginnings, aren't blessed with huge trust funds and zillions to spend, and he's had a dream to make his team as diverse as possible, and he's also dreamt of being an IndyCar entrant for forever. And so here we have Mike actually starting to achieve all dreams. So next year he will have at least one car full-time in IMSA and a second car that will be involved in the NAEC, the North American Endurance Cup rounds. Hopefully more. Those are the endurance races, the ones that, you know, longer than the 2.5, 2-hour and 40-minute races that you find at most IMSA events. Anyways, with Michael's announcement here at PRI today, we recorded this the day before, so wanted to go a little bit more in depth than what was in the press release, just simply about the names of the people driving the cars and where he'll be racing, but also to look at some of how the machine has worked behind the scenes of pulling this together with those sponsors, the driver selection process, just how the IndyCar effort will be staffed and how that collaboration will work with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, why, for example, he didn't continue with Andretti Autosport. So, as usual, if you know Mike, he's a pretty thoughtful guy, and we'll tell you how it is. So I just thought this warranted going beyond the normal words in a press release, because this is a major event for Michael Shank Racing. I mean, he's always trying to reach higher and go farther than he has the previous year, and finally we have someone who's going to be at almost half of the IndyCar events with a young kick-ass kid from Indy Lights who made his Indy 500 debut in May. Certainly, Mike and Jack Harvey did not come away feeling very pleased with that effort, so here they are back with a different team, still with Honda, but bound and determined to, set the record a little more straight to what they thought it should be. So you take all that and Mike's further insights on the business side of developing his IMSA team, and anyways, love Mike. Always fun to speak with him, and hope that you enjoy this little insider piece. Mr. Shank, you have been working hard for the past many months trying to put together a really cool program that you have announced today at PRI, a dual effort for Michael Shank Racing, both in IndyCar and in IMSA. And I figured on top of the words that folks might have read by now, let's go a little bit deeper with you so you can tell me about the changes to the IMSA team and what's coming for next year and why. And also on this new IndyCar alliance, which is pretty darn cool. And I also mentioned that we're having some bathroom renovations done just right on the other side of my office. So if you hear banging and drilling, or if you hear cats meowing because they're sequestered in my office, this is going to be the probably the noisiest podcast, one of the two noisiest podcasts of the week. So tell me about the cool stuff you've been working on, Mike.
Well, interesting problems you have there, Marshall, that's for sure.
Well, you know they're one of many, personal problems aside.
So we're really happy to announce what we did today and what we are today, and worked super, super hard on this. And what this is, in kind of a 30,000-foot view down, is an effort for our team to expand our horizons a little bit and build our team. I feel like it's time that we can do that and we should do that. And to be honest, I feel like we deserve it. And it's always been a desire for us to do more IndyCar racing, and through a partnership with SiriusXM and AutoNation, we're going to be able to do that with Jack Harvey this year. But let's let's talk about first about the IMSA side, if we could, Marshall.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
The IMSA side is interesting because, you know, we had this great big program from ACURA last year with the NSXs, and it was really good. I mean, we started in a really behind-the-ball position. By the end of the year, I feel like, you know, middle of the year, I should say, you know, we could contend about every weekend. And that's that big step is something that's really I'm proud of, okay? However, as we all know, the rules are the rules. And IMSA has said to us, and they said to us pretty much all along as we're building the NSX program, you guys cannot be a factory effort next year. So we agreed with that, and we continue to go down the path. I believe the Lexus program was in the same boat, and they have to contend with the same issues we are. So when we went into the end of the season and we tried to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with the NSX program? Because we've made a lot of headway. We got a car that can contend. We got the BOP in more or less decent shape. How can we stay involved? Because we want to stay involved in GTD. So what's happened here is that we went out, we looked to our sponsors first off, the three or four that are listed there today in our releases, Curb Records and Cap and Associates and Rocky Fork Company, Robert Service Group. These are companies that have been longtime MS supporters that I went to and said, listen, here's our situation. I want you guys to be involved. I need a much bigger involvement than in the past. And here's why we should do it. And I was able to sell them on that to get this program funded up, but not all the way. So hence you will see that we are doing one full-time car with 93 car, and one NAC only to start with the 86 car. And our drivers in the 93 car worked on for a very long time. So you've got Justin Marks, who is fairly well known, won the Rolex before.
Yep.
Won the Xfinity race at Mid-Ohio a year or two ago. Lawson Auschenbach, who has been around sports car racing Grand Am IMSA for a very long time. Mario Fonbacher, another young guy that I really liked a lot. We tested him. He super mega impressed me. Brought him on. And then, of course, last but not least, my buddy AJ Allmendinger, which I'm extremely proud to bring back for, I believe, will be his 12th or 13th Rolex with me.
Yeah.
He sat out last year, but he'll be back with us. And that was me, to be honest. I really wanted him back involved in my program.
So
that program was very sound and very stout.
That's our knee-high friend Mr. Dinger mentioned a few weeks ago that he might be doing more than sitting on a timing stand with you all. So that's great to hear that has come to pass. But the thing I enjoy about this, and this isn't just a random sponsor plug, but what I probably enjoy most about this lineup is you've been able to go to loyal sponsors and ask for more, and they have come back in the affirmative, and that doesn't happen that often in racing. It's usually everybody's committed at the level they're comfortable with. If I want to continue or whatever it is, I'm going to have to go find new sponsors to keep going. Who knows? It's not often you have a group say, okay, we're going to reach deeper into our pockets to make something happen. And the byproduct of that, which is the thing I think I love most, Mike, is your lineup. It's not one or two good drivers and then person nobody's ever heard of and we all know is just there because they've got a wad of cash. You've put together a really impressive full season and NAC lineup here for the 86. And that, I think...
That'll be the 93.
That, right. I think, just speaks to the quality of what you've built. Tell me about the NAEC car right now and what you think the options might be for expanding that to full season. I mean,
sure.
Is it too early to weigh in on that? Or
What I can tell you is we can easily expand that to more races, but we have to get the funding to do that. However that comes, however that funding comes, what we know we can't do is have Acura pay for it.
Yeah.
So that's what we know. So in the meantime, the two drivers that are signed as of the announcement are Catherine Legg and Alvaro Parent, who
yep.
I'm extremely proud to get. It's a big get for me.
Monster.
I think he's going to do great things for us. And those two will be in the car for all four of the races for sure. and then I will add a silver and a gold driver here shortly. I just haven't been able to do that quite yet. But again, you know, I could only go back to the well once on the financing for all this, so it just simply wasn't enough to run that car all year. But we will do everything we can to continue it after Sebring, but I just can't guarantee it, you know?
Yeah, and that's where I love not only having Catherine back, which tells anybody that might come on if they wanted to do the full season that, you know, you're with someone who won multiple races with the car, and that's a, you know, it's a valuable continuation experience-wise. And then you also have Alvaro, who I think anybody with the most basic knowledge of GT racing in the past 3, 4, 5 years knows that this guy is just a monster. I mean, a World Challenge champion, obviously, but just a monster in whatever he drives. So in terms of bait, you've put a lot of meat on that hook, I would say, for folks to want to take a look.
I hope so. I hope so. And, you know, the other good thing about this is that we're still working. You know, that's great. We got really good drivers, but we also have some really good, things that we're working on the car with to try to make it better. The areas that are open in homologation, we have the time now to go much deeper into, and we're doing that now in the off season. So we're getting to go to the KNC rig and learn more about the car when we twist it and figure out if there's any gains to be made. We're so much further ahead than we were last year. It's almost unbelievable. So now we're going to be able to roll down to the Rolex, really prepared for the Rolex 24, and hopefully be much more competitive. We did well there last year, but I think we're going to be another tick better, theoretically, this year.
So tell me about this pretty interesting move on the IndyCar side. I think a lot of folks, myself included, for quite some time, expected to hear Michael Shank Racing with Andretti Autosport and Honda coming back together for their second Indy 500 together. Where did the left turn to Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports come about? And was that as a result of any issues on the Andretti side or just a better fit? How did and I ask that because they won the Indy 500 last year and the year before. So anytime you choose to go away from the Indy 500 winning team, you go, but you aren't just looking at the 500, though.
No, it's a little bit more than that, and I'll be real honest with you here. We had a very, very good experience with Michael's group. From Michael on down, everyone there treated us very, very well. That has to be said. And we did try to work out something with them, but we just couldn't come to an arrangement that made sense for both parties. Honestly, that's it. Now, does that mean we will never work together again? Absolutely not. You never know what the future holds, but we have a multi-year deal in place with Schmidt-Peterson now, who we were able to get on common ground with. Michael's very busy. Michael's got a lot going on that team, all positive, by the way. We just couldn't, you know, make sense for our teams to get together for this particular thing because we want to do more than just Indy, you know? I mean, we want to try to expand our footprint when we can. And we were able to come in an arrangement with Sam, and, you know, Sam's done a humongous amount of work over the offseason, technically, and it'll be very interesting to see how we come out swinging at St. Pete this year. But from what I've seen, I'm telling you, I've sat in the Andretti side, and now I've sat in the SPM side. They're very similar animals with really passionate, nice people. That's what they share in common. They don't know each other that way. I do. I've seen both now, right? And they both got really good core people, and I don't think there was a wrong answer to be. It's just that Sam and I have known each other a very, very long time, and we're able to get to common ground within a week, you know? And it worked out. So never close the door in the future. I know they liked us. We all wish everybody's great. And I'm going to miss going to Andretti's party on Saturday night before the big race. But we're going forward with Sam, and we're building that relationship as we speak, and it's very, very good. And, you know, we're getting integrated with Todd Malloy and his technical staff and peers, all those guys. John Flack is there now commercially, who I've had a great relationship with through Zach Brown for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of natural synergy. So
tell me a little bit about what you have planned event-wise with Jack Harvey, and I guess akin to your NAEC situation with, you know, the major races for that entry, at least right now, with the NSX. Tell me about what you have cooked up for a limited campaign, at least, with Jack Harvey. And my cat Rosie has just jumped on my shoulder right now, by the way, so that's a little bit of fun. Tell me about what you guys have cooked up, and if there's any opportunity in your arrangement with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports to expand it all, if, you know, sponsor X comes on board and wants to do more rounds.
Absolutely can expand on it. It's, the program is built to expand at any point. So it's just a matter, you know, I've been in this thing 23 years with a federal ID number, and I've had a really good run, Marshall. And one of the reasons why is that we're ultra conservative on what we're capable of doing financially. Meaning I'm not willing to go, I can't go to my, say, credit line to come up with 400, 300 grand to do A rates, right?
Yeah.
It has to make commercial sense to do it, or we just simply don't do it. So what we've done is we've been able to put a budget together that makes sense to do 5 test days, more or less, maybe more, and then 6 races. What's most important is that Jack gets a better shot at this next year, insofar as that he gets some time with not only his team, but his car. We've bought a brand new car from Dallara for our efforts, which I'm really happy with. We'll do, you know, theoretically, we're doing a couple days in January, February, and March before we hit St. Pete. And also we'll do the Open Indy test in March. What is that? March 27th, I believe.
Yeah.
So we'll be a part of that also. So, you know, for Michael Schenck Racing, from this weekend through end of March, he's going to be extremely busy across both series. But we've got people, we've got good, great people, we've got the equipment, and we're stockpiling more equipment, and we're really ready to go with this. The biggest thing is I want Jack to be confident in what we're doing.
Sure.
In that, you know, we're getting, giving him everything we possibly can, and he knows that instinctually, you know, my gut is always to do the right thing for Jack. So we're behind him 100%.
So tell me about some of the other races you have on the schedule, and let's also talk a little bit about the car, because granted, you might be the only person I know who's owned 2 different Dallaras, but 5+ years apart. But tell me a little bit about the other races you have in mind for doing with Jack with those 6, and also maybe the running side of it, because I know that at least this year at Indy, receiving a car from Andretti, I don't know if that fit your preferred working style. What kind of people are you going to put on this program? Will they be full time, etc.? What's this going to look like from you guys collaborating with Schmidt?
Yeah, great questions. We're adding a couple full time people for that effort, and then we'll have some of the sports car guys will work on the car also. So we've kind of spread the load, because if you think about this, Marshall, we're only doing 1 full-time and 1 part-time car as of today.
Yep.
So, but I have enough people to run 2, so I'm able to move some people around that want to be moved around. So some of the guys, we restructured our team so that the guys that want to do the NAC and IndyCar, it's almost a perfect job. They get to do the sports car when we have that work, and then they go to the IndyCar when we really transfer to that time. The only tricky part is January to March, as you can imagine. So once we get clear of March 31st, then it becomes much, much easier for us. But we brought on people that are IndyCar experienced. Our race engineer is Will Anderson, who is a young guy from Sam Schmitz. There was an opportunity to be a race engineer. So Will will be our leader in the engineering side. And then Ryan McCarthy is one of my race engineers on the sports car side. We'll help him and also do the dampers on the IndyCar. And you know, what I'm trying to make sure is that most of the group knows each other, has worked with each other. Truly, the only really guy that's outside that is Will, and we already know him pretty well by now. So I think everybody that's on my program that's in the IndyCar and the sports car want to do it. And that's half the battle. They want to be there.
And where will we see this this lovely car? And tell us the car number as well and the sponsors for that.
Sure.
Where will we see this, or what events will people be able to see this next year?
So we're going to start at St. Pete, then roll to Long Beach, and then roll to the Indy 500. There's a couple of versions of what we could do, and a little bit is dependent on scheduling. But we have Sonoma and Portland on the schedule. and potentially Mid-Ohio and or Indy Grand Prix. We're deciding which way we want to go with the Grand Prix to Mid-Ohio. So we have Sonoma, Portland, Mid-Ohio, Indy 500, St. Pete, and Long Beach. That's one thing. The car number will be 60, just as a harken back to the car number we had for a long time in sports car and that we had our most successful. So that's confirmed. The sponsors, the primary sponsors, are AutoNation and SiriusXM, and this is a really, really great deal for us. It's a multi-year commitment from them. It's a commitment enough that we can do this and be competitive. They'll be the two primary sponsors of the car. Of course, we're Honda-powered, as you can imagine, given our relationship on the sports car side. And then we have associate sponsors, many that will come on during the year, but to include Rocky Ford Company, Robert Service Group, and Cap'n Associates. These are all long-term MSR sponsors that really are excited about doing the MSR thing. So it's taken a lot of puzzle pieces to kind of make this whole thing work. And everybody had a piece of it, including Jack Harvey. I mean, he was very active in trying to put this deal together.
Well, I'm happy to say the $9.95 my wife and I have spent per month since about 2005 on Sirius and XM. Glad to consider ourselves a personal small sponsor of the team.
Awesome.
There.
Awesome.
And again, for folks who listen to my podcast, you know that I rarely ask people to talk about their sponsors because we're not here to do plugs, but I asked Mike to mention them for a specific reason, and it comes back to one thing that Michael Shank represents and continues to represent, and that's a guy who loves racing, who wants to be involved, was involved as a driver, moved into team ownership, and has done this based on passion and personality and skill. And that's the thing that, to me, when you get to hear about these long-term sponsors that have stepped up on the IMSA side that are also associates on the IndyCar, new sponsor that has come on board with a multi-year deal, you know, Mike is not someone who is doing this because his dad is a trillionaire and he has a trust fund. Truly someone like me, and like hopefully some who are listening, where if you have a dream to start an IndyCar team, IMSA team or whatever, Mike's the guy that you go to and ask advice to, or ask advice of, and try and get some feeling for how to do it, because that's who Mike represents. And I know that's something you enjoy as well, Mike, which is the, hey, if you got a question, come ask, because I'm genuinely doing the dream that I've had, which is more or less the same of every person, I think, showing up to watch these races.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up, because you can look at this from the outside. You have two major multi-billion dollar companies in AutoNation and SiriusXM, and they come to MSR when they could easily go to other teams, maybe more established or something like that. But what I think this speaks to, and we all speak to, at some point in your career, when you're as passionate as I am, or you keep trying and you keep swinging, someday there are going to be key people and key moments in time that are going to say, you know what, we believe you, and we believe in you, and this is why we're going to do this. And that's exactly what happened in this. For me, also, another person that helped a ton was Jim France. We can talk for hours about that. But I'm just telling you, in this world, you have to have someone, when you come from where we come from, you have to have someone or an individual or companies that say, you know what, I believe you can do a better job if you're given the right tools. And they go with you. And that's what happened with Acura last year. When Acura had choices besides my team to run those GTD cars, they went with us because they trusted my passion and that we could run this team. And that's what's happened here. It's the same thing. You got to set super high standards. You got to be really cognizant of first impressions. You have to get results at the end of the day, and that's exactly why this has happened. They're putting their faith in me that we can get this done.
See, and I'm living proof too. The local chapter of Girl Scouts gave me a half-eaten box of Girl Scout cookies as my first sponsor for the Marshall Pruitt podcast. So, see,
that's awesome. Yeah, just luck, huh?
If you have faith. Well, yeah. You've got things to do, and I'm holding you up from, finding more money, signing more drivers, and plotting excellence and world domination next year. Mr. Shank, as always, not only do I appreciate your time, but happy for you, man.
Thank you, dude.
Truly happy for you.
It.
You're, like I said, you're someone who's built this from the ground up, and Nothing against those who come into the sport with tons of money and spend it freely, but when you can start with nothing and turn it into a two-car IMSA program and expand into IndyCar with six races, that is a feel-good story. You got your Christmas present early, brother.
I'd say so. I'm truly appreciative, and we encourage all people to come out and support us and root for us and come engage with us at the tracks, wherever it may be. We're always here for you.
And that was Michael Shank. As he encouraged, and he does mean it, if you're at a race, if you're at an IndyCar event, you're at a sports car event, stop by and say hi. Pick his brain. He's usually pretty busy, but he also loves engaging with those who love motor racing. And you'll find that, frankly, with a lot of folks in most paddocks who will happily say hello, chat for a moment or two. If you see Michael and he is standing in or around his transporter and isn't immediately busy, he is a little bit of a rare bird in that if you walk up and say hello, introduce yourself, ask a couple of questions, the more insightful, the better. Hey, can you tell me how this works? Or what, you know, how does this thing come together and what you do? He's a guy who'll sit there and tell you. He's not big about secrets and trying to make stuff into this black art and, oh, well, you know, we'll just skim the surface only. He's the kind of guy who'll walk you into the garage. If you've got a question about how chassis setup works, if he can, he is the guy who'll grab you and say, hey, come on in, let me show you. You want to know some of the stuff on the business side. He's usually very open. He might not tell you exactly what his budget is for the year, but again, Mike is one of those guys, definitely of the pay it forward mindset, and that's one of the great assets that he brings to what he does, and also why the guy is so respected and so loved by a lot of folks, and now in multiple paddocks. All right, Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. Thanks for listening.